Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
That same-sex couples should be allowed to marry?
I ask that only in the spirit because several members of the cabinet have spoken, but the White House hasn't. What do you think of the matter, ma'am?
I think the president's actions speak for themselves. He's been a very strong supporter of the LGBT community and their civil rights.
But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family, neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex
relationships, on training wheels,
who are raising kids together.
About
those
soldiers. He didn't have a decision on this before he ran. Now he has a decision.
Sailors who are out there fighting
sailors
on my behalf.
And over there, over there.
Even
oh, the Yanks are coming. The Yanks are coming.
They're not able to commit themselves in a marriage.
Why not do it in the road?
I've just concluded that
if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road?
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
Now, here's the question. Let's have an intelligent discussion about gay marriage. Without any snickering, without any jokes, because either the president just committed the greatest blunder of his entire political life, or the fix is in, he knows he's going to win, and it doesn't matter what he does. Because he saw what happened in North Carolina just yesterday, 60-40, it was not 51-49. Overwhelmingly, people said no to gay marriage. It's the same in 31 states now. Not one state has said yes to gay marriage. The man can't live in such a bubble where he thinks the entire country is the Upper West Side of Manhattan or certain regions of San Francisco or Austin, Texas. The fact of the matter is the large majority of Americans support traditional marriage, period. Now, when asked to vote on it, which is called democracy, whether you like it or not, most people say no. Unhealthy for a child to think that way. It does not help them become a mature, healthy adult. That's how the majority of Americans think. So I ask you, Obama just came out and supported homosexual marriage. He did it on Always Bolshevik Communications, ABC. Always Bolshevik Communications, ABC. Backs gay marriage. Now, this is a day after North Carolina's slam dunk no on gay marriage. So you have to say, is he crazy? Is Axelrod nuts? Or there's only two reasons he would do this today. I'll give you the two reasons. One, he knows the fix is in and they're going to win. So it doesn't matter if he supports the gay community now or not, because they're going to rig the vote. Or two, the gay community is so powerful financially that they said to him in no uncertain terms, either you come out for gay marriage the day after North Carolina, or we're withholding $100 million for you from Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, Matzenberg, Spatzenberg, and Spatzenberg, and the others in Hollywood who put him in power to begin with. There's no other explanation. This only makes political sense if the fix is in. So did Obama just commit political suicide? Is the fix in? How do you feel about it? I don't really want to discuss the issue of gay marriage per se. I think we've done that over the years. I think we're pretty clear on both sides of the aisle what the arguments are for and against a gay marriage. But the fact of the matter is, the issue really is now about Obama and his advisors. Did you hear what I just said to you? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Headline on Drudge: Fed clears China's first U.S. bank takeover. Thank you, Obama. How do you feel about China taking over a U.S. bank? Are we going to wake up in a few months and find out that Obama has assigned running of the U.S. military to China because they can do it for less money? Is that coming next? The United States just today opened its banking market to ICBC, China's biggest bank, for the first time clearing a takeover of a U.S. bank by a Chinese state-controlled company. That means a communist entity will now run a U.S. bank. Just days after high-level U.S.-China economic talks in Beijing, the Federal Reserve approved an application from Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, that means communist China, to buy a majority stake in the U.S. subsidiary Bank of East Asia. How do you feel about that? That's, again, the Federal Reserve, which you, Ron Paul voters, should understand. Every red light should have just gone off in your head. Every red light should have just gone off in your head about who the Federal Reserve is, how they're all traitors, and how Obama really is put in power by the Federal Reserve. You don't think I know this just because I don't talk about it? You think I don't understand internationalism? You think I, of all talk shows, don't understand New World Orderism? You think I, of all people, don't understand the prison they want to put us all in? We're already in a prison. They want to slam the door shut and throw the key away. You think I don't understand this? So now we come back to the election. Here we have the most divisive, unpopular president in American history. On the most incendiary of all issues, the day after the people in North Carolina say no to gay marriage by a major league majority, 60-40, he says, I support gay marriage. This was not a blunder. This was on purpose. So why did he do it the day after? Did he just commit political harry-carry? Because this only makes sense if the fix is in. Or the money from Hollywood and other gay quarters was going to be withheld. They certainly wouldn't have given it to Romney. But they probably said, unless you come out for the LGBT, whatever acronym today, after what's going on, and you show us that you're with us 100%, we're not giving you the $100 million that we promised you. We're not going to bundle it. That's all there is to it. Now, conversely, I was actually sitting here trepidatiously before the show started saying, where's Romney on this? If Romney follows suit and says he supports gay marriage, then it nullifies Obama's mistake. But Romney came out and said he opposes homosexual marriage in this following soundbite. Listen.
Well, when these issues were raised in my state of Massachusetts, I indicated my view, which is I do not favor marriage between people of the same gender, and I don't favor civil unions if they're identical to marriage other than by name. My view is that domestic partnership benefits, hospital visitation rights, and the like are appropriate, but that the others are not.
So what do you think motivated Obama's sudden turnaround on homosexual marriage? Was it a sudden moral epiphany, as he claims? No. A genuine desire to connect with the gay voter? No, they're going to vote for him anyway. Money pressure from groups on the left who want to withhold money if he didn't come out for it? And do you think this will help or hurt Obama's chances for re-election? Because if you're a black person with a religious background, for example, who voted for Obama, you know, and I both know, that your church opposes gay marriage. I don't have to ask you. I know where you stand on it. Because I saw in California when the issue was on the ballot, the people were shocked to find out that Hispanics oppose gay marriage. He just lost 10 to 15% of the Hispanic vote, by the way. Did you hear what I just said? I don't need to go to anybody to tell me what I know. That's why you listen to me. I'm telling you right now, he lost 10 to 12% of the African-American vote. He lost between 15 to 20% of the Hispanic vote. And he's probably lost 25 to 28% of the white blue-collar voter who was hoodwinked into voting for him, even though he's anti-white blue-collar voter. How should Romney respond? Well, he did respond. Why would he do it? There's no sense to this unless he was pressured to do it by his power brokers. There's something wrong with this picture. If you care to chime in on this incendiary topic on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I invite you to think about this and go to michaelsavage.com. Check out all of the stories. Listen to all the ads. Hey, I want to tell you that again. You think the advertisers are a waste, right? Oh, I don't want to listen to them. Without them, I wouldn't be on the air. So Mother's Day is coming up. Go to my, you know, listen to the ads and do what they say. In plain English, if you like me, do what my advertisers say. I'll be right back.
Savage.
All right,
well, the big news today is that Obama's come out supporting gay marriage, which is shocking given that North Carolina just voted against it by a 60-40 majority. 31 states have said no to gay marriage. What political sense does this make? None whatsoever. So either his advisors are completely out of touch with reality and he's going to lose the election, or the fix is in and he knows he's going to win the election. Because I'll tell you right now, he's lost a good percentage of the African-American religious community. They're never going to vote for him. He's lost a good percentage of the Hispanic community, which is very family-oriented and very sensitive to this issue. The Chinese community, incidentally, which you may not know, is significant in San Francisco and other areas of America, voted in a large majority against gay marriage without you knowing it, because the papers buried it when it was on the ballot here in California. So something's wrong with this picture. Moreover, Obama is talking about a marginal issue such as this while the economy is tanking, while he's decimating the military, while the Middle East is burning because of his political machinations. It's astounding what's going on. So let me ask you what you think is going on. Jim in New York, WOR, you lead the charge. Go ahead, please. Jim, 100%. Line four. Again, we're having trouble with the go ahead, Jim.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it's a slam dunk, and he knows it, because he doesn't need the gay population. He doesn't need all the people that he's going to lose. He has all the money he needs, which wins elections with George Soros and the Federal Reserve, and it's as obvious as day. And the evidence is
well, well, clear. Stop. So how are they going to fix the vote?
It's all about money, Michael. And the biggest money by far is the Federal Reserve and Soros and, you know, all the stuff you know about.
But what about the fact that I pointed out in Trickle Down Tyranny about a company called SCYTL, a Spanish-based voting applications country that company that counts our ballots? In January of 2012, that's just this year, SCYTL acquired U.S.-based SOE software company. They manage our elections. They control jurisdictional voting in this country. So do you think that the fix is in because they control the computers?
I think the fix is in, but that is just one small part of it. I think the most glaring part of it is the $15 trillion that they allowed to be transferred from J.P. Morgan to HSBC in the UK that was exposed in the House of Lords back in February. They haven't even started an investigation yet.
But I don't want to get into other topics. Today, Obama drops a bombshell on a day he never should have done it. If he was a smart, canny politician, he would have held his course right till the election and come out for gay marriage if he ever won. Now he comes out today. Why? Why would he do it today after North Carolina overwhelmingly voted no? Why today?
Because he has all the money he needs from the Fed.
I don't agree with you. I mean, he could have done this 2 days ago. He did it the day after North Carolina because the gay community is panicking. And they're saying it's the reason that they lost 60-40 in North Carolina, no matter how much money they spent, and they outspent the opposition by about 3-1, is because Obama didn't come out strongly enough. So they demanded he come out and support gay marriage. I think they forced him to do it, and in doing so, they may have destroyed his chances to be reelected. Something's wrong with the picture. By the way, something is wrong with this picture. John in Las Vegas, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Yes, John, go ahead. Yeah, no. Oh, he dropped. Very good. Dallas, Texas. John, you're up. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, the fix is not in, Michael. He did it for the money because he doesn't have as much money as people think he does. And I guarantee you, God's in control. So, hey, the Tea Party's coming on. Now look at Murdoch, who beat Luker. It's awesome. It's coming. I guarantee you. God bless you, Michael. You're telling the truth, brother.
All right. Well, I hear you. It's interesting. Okay. I'm telling the truth as I know it, but something's wrong with this picture. I mean, I'm sitting here one man alone talking to a large audience. The world is out there. You have your own minds, your own opinions. What rational thinking person listening to this show would expect that Obama would come out in support of gay marriage the day after it gets slammed to the ground in North Carolina? This makes no sense. Something is wrong. Either his advisors are completely out of touch with reality, or the fix is in, or his supporters in Hollywood who gave him all of the money in the beginning to put him where he is have said either you support gay marriage tomorrow or we are withdrawing from you. Something of, along those lines. I'd rather not even talk about gay marriage per se. If you want to do that, we can do that because that isn't even the issue. The issue is Obama's political move. That to me is the issue today. Something's wrong with the picture. Nick in New York, WOR. Does this make sense to you, Nick?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's a smart move on his part, but I think it's a distraction, and I think that's what he wants. I think it pushes forward what, you know, I think and many say is like the false left-right paradigm where, you know, here we are fighting each other over, you know, a hot-button issue, but there are so many more important things out there that we're not talking about, you know, like the NDAA, like all that regime change over.
So you think that he did this to throw us off the track that he's really a Marxist and that his policies are a disaster?
Yeah, you could put it that way. I think he wants us fighting each other and, you know, not fighting for our freedoms, you know?
Have you read Trickle Down Tyranny yet?
Unfortunately, no.
Okay, I'm sending you a free copy. Tell your friends about it because it could change the course of our election history. Las Vegas Rich, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I disagree with you. I don't think he's going to lose any of the minority vote. I'm a conservative Christian out here in Vegas. I go to a church that 70% of the congregation is black, and I can tell you that after seeing the results of the last election, they're going to continue to vote for him. I think he could say that the Bible is the greatest fiction story ever written, and they're still going to vote for him just because he's black. I don't think he's going to lose any of the Hispanic vote. I think it's
well, Rich, let me tell you, we had an election here, a ballot initiative in California a few years back on gay marriage, and the proponents of gay marriage were shocked to learn that a good percentage of Christian African-Americans voted against it, and shockingly, 90% of Chinese in California voted against it. The Hispanics voted against it by about a 40% majority. So don't count this out. This is a big issue in these communities that who are all traditional family oriented, all of them. And I think that their traditional family values trump their racial identity.
Savage.
We are talking about a very big topic, and that is about Obama's shocking turnaround on gay marriage, because as near as yesterday or the day before, he said that his position was evolving. And the battle lines are drawn on this issue. People have very strong feelings on both sides. I don't even want to talk about gay marriage per se, because it's been talked about. Everyone knows where they stand on it. The only question for me is why a man as politically as astute as the Obama machine, would have him come out in favor of gay marriage the day after North Carolina says no by a large majority, 60-40, and 31 other states have said no. Why would he do this? Don't you think this will alienate Christian conservative blacks? How about white independents who voted for Obama? How about Hispanics who are very strong on this issue? So in other words, the question is not about gay marriage per se. It's about why now? Why would he do this now? He didn't have to do it. So why did he do this? Something is wrong with this story. I'm telling you, it doesn't make sense. Or do you disagree with me? Is it a political disaster? Or do you think this is politically wise? And you know what I think about it. Okay, John in Mississippi, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Michael. I actually believe he's throwing a Hail Mary. I believe that he's lost. Or he's trying to recoup his base. His base has somewhat left him. He just had a speech the other day, and the chairs were empty. I believe it was a shock to him, mm-hmm. And it appears to be that he says, "Well, look, I can't run on the economy, and the ball is in my court. Now I'm trying to possibly, maybe with this gay ordeal, regroup the younger vote, possibly." But I believe
that's very interesting. Yes, his campaign stops have been sparsely attended. There's no enthusiasm for Obama wherever he goes. So he's taking a gamble, you think, on reigniting the base with this?
Yes, well, you know, you think with the Christian community and with the black vote supporting him, obviously this is going to be a big hit against him. But I feel that he feels like they'll support me in spite of, because of his race. I'm an African-American. But I just believe he's really punting. He's throwing a Hail Mary, and he says, I have nothing to gain, nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose, so I'm just going to go with it. I'm going to go with this agenda. Maybe I can pull in this vote and possibly get the younger vote, because the way it's sitting right now, I mean, what does he really have? He has nothing. So I don't even believe it's even a financial thing. I believe he's just trying to get the votes and the younger group to come.
Okay, so you're saying that this move is not so much to appeal to the gay vote, which he already has 100%. They're never voting for Romney. So the only demographic he's appealing to here is the indifferent young voter who was excited for him in 08 and is indifferent to him now. That's your theory.
Trying to go with the younger minds to get the younger the kids, because they don't really understand how it was back in the day, the older generation. So they're like, hey, whatever it will be, you know, just like with the movement that they got going on right now, Occupy Wall Street movement. You look at the generation gap. It's all younger people. So he feels like, hey, I have nothing to lose. I'm going to punt the ball. I mean, I'm already behind. I mean, even this early in the race. So what does he have to lose? So he's going with the
game. You know, I agree with you that without the media lying about his position, he's way behind. His campaign is showing a disaster coming in November. He's extremely unpopular. His fundraising is behind what it should have been. So you think this is strictly to get the young voter in. You know, that makes as much sense as any. It just shows you that people can think west of the Hudson River. You know, I'll bet most people in Manhattan don't agree with you. They probably don't think anyone outside of Manhattan has a brain.
To run on, I mean, what else does he have? I mean, everything that he tries fails. I mean, the last couple of attempts, political attempts that he actually did within the past week, everything just kind of crumbled, kind of fell back on him. And now when his, vice president actually kind of brought him out into the open. Now he has to do something, because I could see all of the guys that were actually checking him every day. They were asking questions. Okay, what about the gay community? What about the gay marriage or whatever? So he has to stand out. So I guess they kind of politically say, well, if we go this route, then we could possibly get the younger vote. We have nothing else. I mean, the older...
That's a very interesting analysis. And again, I want to reiterate, I don't really want to discuss gay marriage per se. I think that the positions are pretty clear on it. They've been discussed. The only question today is, why would Obama make such a move on a day he didn't have to do it? Something doesn't make sense to me. But, John, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. What do you think is going on here? Why would Obama make such a political decision when he didn't have to? What would motivate such a decision at this time? I agree there are far bigger issues, by the way. Far bigger issues. You want to name them? In fact, why don't you call the Savage Nation and tell me five topics that are larger than gay marriage? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Tell me five topics that you think Obama should be talking about. I'll give you a few. The economy, the runaway inflation, the disaster called his cuts against the U.S. military. He's destroying the military. The smallest Navy since World War I. The fact that he's destroyed the entire Arab Crescent with his insanity called the Arab Spring. He's incited the Muslim Brotherhood, which has announced that it wants to make Jerusalem the head of its caliphate. You see, these are really big issues that should be discussed. So you could say, well, then it's a distraction. Something's wrong here. Kyle in Sacramento, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Yeah, I think there's a reason why Obama's doing this. Throughout the year, he's been trying to create victim groups with African Americans and Trayvon Martin, and now I think he's doing it with gays. He's trying to bring voters in who sympathize with perceived victimhood.
What do you mean? Because you're saying that he hasn't excited them in any way, and this sort of reaches out to yet another demo?
He wants to bring in new voters to the fold that will appeal to perceived victimhood and distract from his failed record on the issues you just mentioned.
Well, to me, the economy, the deficit, the banking scandal, the fact that many of the same banks that caused this collapse are doing better than ever and paying larger bonuses than ever. I mean, there are bigger topics than gay marriage, frankly. So the question is, why would he blow things up like this right now? So your theory now is that he just wants to identify with another group on the victimhood level.
Absolutely, and I think he waited after North Carolina, because imagine if he had come out with it, say, 1 or 2 days before, and then the yes vote wins by the huge margin that it did, how embarrassing that would have been for him. And I don't think his campaign team wanted to do that. So I definitely think something's up. I, for one, refuse to buy into it. I'm not going to think of myself as a victim, and I'm not going to ignore Obama's failed record. He failed.
Well, look, I've got to clear the air again. I'm a sexual libertarian. I invented the phrase because it's true. It's been used by a few others. I personally could care less what people do in their private lives as long as they're adults and they don't hurt anybody. I've been on record with that for at least 10 years. I don't know how many people know that. I don't care what people do in their bedrooms. However, this issue now is about the president making either a blunder or a wise political move. I personally think this is a blunder. What do you think?
I think it can go either way. It's a blunder in the sense that half the Democrat base opposes it. You've got African-Americans, you've got Latinos, you've got blue-collar workers, a conservative Democrat blue-collar workers that oppose it. But I think his team, you know, like I say here in the city, I tell people to cross the Bay Bridge once in a while to see how people really feel outside of a liberal area. And I think Obama's got the same issue with Chicago and D.C. He doesn't know how everyone else feels. He only has an inner circle. So in their minds, in their liberal minds, everyone agrees with gay marriage. Everyone is gung-ho about it, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's the same as what happened to Lugar in Indiana, who thought that he could become a rhino, that he could vote with Democrats and not lose, and yet he lost to a Tea Party favorite yesterday, sending a huge shockwave across both political parties. So that's very interesting. Well, I'll be happy to send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny if you promise not to wrap it in a plain brown wrapper and hide it. Phone number is 1-800-449-8255. This is a big issue. It's a big issue because the president, who's been very acute politically, seems to me to have made a big blunder today. I actually was shocked 15 minutes before airtime to find out that the president gave an interview on ABC News where he came out in support of gay marriage the day after North Carolina said no, 60-40. So again, without talking about sexual issues, marriage issues per se, because they've been talked about to death and there's no point in just yanking each other's chain and yelling at each other. I mean, I'm talking about this from a political point of view, from a strategic political point of view. To me, there's only one or two explanations. One, he did it because he made a mistake. Two, he did it because the fix is in and he knows he's going to win, for whatever the reasons are. So if you want to chime in on this, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Let's go across the country now from San Francisco to New York. Marcus on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Hey, I don't think it's a blunder or a wise move. I think Obama came out with it today because he knows it's going to blow over. Obama's made several blunders that have been really unpopular, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Dream Act, all that nonsense. And it was unpopular when he did it, but no one seems to remember it now. And I think by the time Election Day comes out, no one's going to remember this and no one's going to care. He's still going to get the Hispanic vote. He's still going to get the black vote. And I don't think it'll matter anymore.
Well, again, I disagree with you because the black churches, the traditional black churches, are vehemently opposed to gay marriage. And I believe that the black pastors are not going to forget this. And I think they're going to remind their flocks of this particular decision. I cannot speak to the Catholic Church on this issue. I think I know where they stand, but I never really know where they stand because they equivocate on so many social issues. It's hard to know where the Catholic Church stands. As far as Catholic Hispanic families go, they're extremely traditional. And so you know that, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so I don't know that this is going to blow over before the election. So that's you know, this is why I'm shocked by it. He's an astute political animal, or he wouldn't be president. Axelrod, Obama's brain is a political master chess player. Something doesn't make sense to me. He didn't. Let's put it this way: he didn't have to do it, did he? What would have forced him to do this today?
Well, another theory I had is maybe he did it today because he wants to be the stark contrast to Romney. Like, how are the media supposed to paint Romney as a bigot and a prejudice and all that if Obama and Romney agree the same
thing? All right, now you're talking. I think already we've seen an inkling of what's coming when Shep Smith, the radical liberal on Fox News, came out and said, are the Republicans going to remain on the wrong side of history on this issue? So, yes, I think those are the code words for what's coming from the media. They're going to say the Mormon Romney is on the wrong side of history. That's what they're going to try and do, paint them as a right-wing bigot. Is that so? That's potentially a strategic move on that in that regard. Is that sort of what you're implying?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm implying. He can't side with Romney because if the media is painting Romney as a bigot and Obama agrees with Romney, it'll make Obama look bad as well. Exactly.
Very interesting. Okay, you get a copy of the greatest book ever written, Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Turn it off. It didn't work. I'm trying to play some 40s Glenn Miller music. It didn't work. You got something sharper, like, what did he do? The Little Brown Jug, which we played. What else did he do? In the Mood. All right, yeah, play In the Mood. It matches the... People love swing music now. It's before my time. Why is it so low? What, am I going deaf? What, do I need a hearing aid? It's like a weird day. You know what John F. Kennedy said about China? All right, turn it off. It's just, I'm all over the map. Here's what John F. Kennedy said about China. Those of you obsessed with China, remember that those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside it. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. San Antonio, Texas. Todd, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, I'm disappointed with you a little bit because I don't think this has nothing to do with gay marriage. This is typical Obama, what he does. Watch this hand while I sign 100 executive orders behind your back. That's what I really think this is, Mike.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow whether he signed executive orders, while we were focused on this. It's certainly possible he is a trickster.
Well, Michael, I'm almost 50, and you know what? I've got grandchildren, and I think that we're not going to know the devastation that this man has done until he's out of office, and then if the next president doesn't bring charges and find all the executive orders that this man has signed. And just like Eric Holder should be in prison for what he has done.
Well, many people agree with you, by the way, that this is a sort of criminal regime that is totally opposed not only to the majority of the American people, but is actually against the law. They're above the law. They're acting outside the law. They appoint czars. Let's start with the obvious. When in American history has a president appointed czars rather than cabinet officials who basically in some ways report to Congress? Where did these czars come from? Are we living in the Soviet Union of 1917? So let's start with his beginnings. The man is a Marxist in his origins. He's a Marxist in thinking. In terms of his social policies, I believe they've been disastrous. Putting the gay marriage issue aside, I believe his social policies have been a disaster, whether it's building a bigger education department. Whatever you look at, they've been a disaster for the future of America. However, I don't think that they're easily turned around. That's where I disagree with you. I don't think that it's easy to change the rules once they're set up. Very hard to change things. Look what Nixon did by establishing the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act. We're all in favor of helping those physically less fortunate than ourselves. We are all in favor of helping handicapped people. I don't have to do my mea culpa every time I talk about it and talk about my poor dead brother. The fact of the matter is, though, that the legal profession and social gangsters have stolen the ADA and turned it into a nightmare for most Americans and destroyed small businesses in doing so by forcing them to put in various and sundry improvements that they can't afford. So whenever a well-meaning social program is enacted, it's almost impossible to reverse history. I'm sending you a free copy of what? Trickle Down Tyranny. Save it. Maybe your grandchild can sell it on eBay in about 20 years, and you never, never know. What are the five topics that we should be talking about today other than Obama coming out in favor of gay marriage. Incidentally, there's very good news in San Francisco. The subhuman, Edwin Ramos, who killed a father and his two sons, was just found guilty. Alleged gang member Edwin Ramos was convicted just now of the slayings of a San Francisco father and his two sons, the culmination of one of the most notorious crimes in the city in recent years. He killed Tony Bologna, age 48, his sons, Michael, 20, and Matthew, 16, who were shot to death because they made a wrong turn. He thought they were a member of an opposition gang. So the fact of the matter is this guy was a member of the MS-13 gang, and this murderer, this gang murderer, was found guilty today. This is a huge victory for justice. It's certainly not going to bring the Ramos family back to the United States. By the way, I sent money to Mrs. Bologna originally. I was so wrecked by this case. I couldn't believe what it'd be like to have this happen. And for those of you who love illegal immigrants and can't get enough of them, Ramos was here illegally. He was here as an illegal alien. He beat up a member of a man on a bus in 2003. Nobody would deport him because the vermin who run San Francisco, the retrograde throwback worms who run San Francisco, would not jail this murderer, this troublemaker. They wouldn't do anything to him because they said it's a sanctuary city. Tony Bologna's widow, Danielle, sued the city in 2009, claiming that officials' interpretation of the sanctuary policy had led to the killings of her husband and sons. A judge threw out the suit, ruling that officials were not responsible for any crimes Ramos may have committed. I disagree. The judge should be thrown out. Mrs. Ramos should have justice. I mean, Mrs. Bologna should have justice. It is the city. If this city had not been a sanctuary for illegals, this killer would have been deported long before he ever met up and murdered this family. What a city. What a city this is when the solenterate, turnback, throwback, corrupt Marxists have infected every beam of every city hall edifice in this once great city.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Talking about the president's shocking decision to come out in favor of gay marriage today. I mean, it was 15 minutes before showtime. I knew there were many more important topics that we were going to talk about. Yesterday, North Carolina voted 60-40 against gay marriage. That's the 31st state to say no. So the president comes out on the issue of gay marriage today when he doesn't have to. Why? It's in every newspaper, New York Post, L.A. Times, New York, you name it. It's the leading headline across America. I'm the first, you know, major talk show host to have to cover this topic today on this issue. It'll be all over the media landscape tomorrow. So, again, I want to set the ground rules. I don't really want to talk about gay marriage per se. If you insist on it, okay, go ahead and do so. Because the battle lines are drawn. Everyone has their positions. We've heard them before. It's only going to get incendiary. I don't really need that. And I've been frankly castigated because people don't even understand who I am. I'm a sexual libertarian. I've been so for 10 years. The New Yorker got it right. No one else seems to get it right. And I don't really appreciate being castigated for what I don't believe in. But on this issue, we have to ask ourselves only one question. Why would a president who is known to be so skillful politically, with such a genius called Axelrod behind him, make such an apparent blunder today? Or is it such a blunder? He has the gay vote. They're not going to vote for Romney, a Christian conservative. I mean, that city may as well have horns and be the devil to them. So who is he appealing to here? So let's take the callers on this topic. Then I have all the other questions that I want to ask you, which is this. Give me five topics that are more important to you than gay marriage. Okay, that's an important question, and we'll talk about them. So let's begin in New York on WOR. Steve's been holding a long time. Steve, you're up. You've got the floor. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes. As a gay man calling from New York, I think the situation in North Carolina is absurd. Gay people should have the right to marry. And, you know, because gays are persecuted in Nazi Germany, and North Carolina has a long history of persecuting African Americans. They sterilized 72 African Americans were sterilized in recent years, and they offered, the legislator of North Carolina offered only $50,000 compensation. Right,
so you have a strong feeling on this, and I accept that, but I'm asking you, why would Obama do this politically? Do you think it's a blunder, what he did, or do you think it's a wise move?
Well, actually, I think Obama actually I believe is that he doesn't go far enough. I think that he has to be a constitutional amendment guaranteeing his right.
So you think he should violate states' rights, override all states' rights on this issue? You don't care about states' rights?
Well, states' rights were not always that right, because states' rights during the 60s, before the Civil Rights Act of 1964, African Americans were not permitted to, let's say, ride on buses, go into stores.
I've heard that argument as well. So there should be no states' rights. It should all come from a Führer in Munich. Is that it?
We have a Tenth Amendment, but we have states.
Well, no, rights. I think that we should have a Führer in Washington D.C. where there are no states' rights, where the one Führer decides for all. Ein Volk. You know what I'm saying? One people, one country, one man. That's what we should have. No states' rights, no dispersion of power, no separation of powers. It's unbelievable how you can say that. You know, not everybody is in New York or San Francisco. People think differently in other states. Don't they have the right to think differently in other states?
Do they have the right to sterilize African Americans in North Carolina?
But nobody is sterilizing African Americans today.
Without their consent. Was done
I'm sorry, Steve, I'm sorry. You're saying blacks are being sterilized in North Carolina today?
No, it was found out. It was in ABC News. They were sterilized against their will.
And when were they sterilized?
I think up to recently as probably the 80s.
So, but what does that have to do with today?
Because the government, the states violate people's rights.
I've heard this argument with regard to illegal aliens voting. Arizona and about 10 other states have said we don't want illegal aliens voting in our country. And Eric Holder has said the Führer says that they have a right to vote. So let's put aside the sexual issue. You as a gay American, do you think Hispanic illegal aliens should have the right to vote in our country even though they're not citizens?
That's silly, but...
Please answer the question so we can have a rational... procedure here. I need to know where you're coming from.
No, I mean,
I'm asking a simple question to try and get a grip on where you're coming from. You're saying there should be no states' rights when civil rights are violated. I'm asking you, do you consider illegal aliens being told they cannot vote in this country a civil rights issue, or is it a slam dunk obvious nonsense? Where do you stand on that?
Well, we have the Commerce Clause, which protects the rights of individuals. A lot of conservatives against the Commerce Clause and against the 14th Amendment. And, you know, they think
I'm asking you, should illegal aliens be permitted to vote in this country?
Of course not.
So we agree on that. So in that case, states such as Arizona have said clearly, we want the right to say that illegal aliens can't vote in this country. And our state laws are going to be forged to prohibit illegal aliens from voting. But Eric Holder has said, no, it's a civil rights issue. We're going to override states' rights. And the Führer has decided Hispanics from Mexico, El Salvador, wherever, have a right to vote. So you see, this is a problem in that what you're saying is morally correct, that when civil rights are violated, of course the federal government should step in. However, who determines what a civil right is? That's the issue here. And I think that hasn't been determined. Whether marriage between a man and a man or a woman and a woman is actually a civil rights issue.
Right. In the Middle Eastern countries, they overtly execute people of that orientation.
Well, I'm glad you know it. I'm glad you understand that our sudden dance with Iran is a suicide dance. I'm glad that you understand that this engagement of the Muslim Brotherhood is a disaster for the gay community. I hope you understand that as well.
We had the Muslim Brotherhood to the White House in the 1950s.
So, okay. Well, what I'm saying is you don't agree the Muslim Brotherhood is good for the gay community or anyone else in America. You know that.
Eisenhower was a Republican. He had the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House.
Well, so he made a mistake, obviously. So I certainly wouldn't engage the Muslim Brotherhood because they're calling for a caliphate in the Middle East, an Islamic caliphate. You understand what that means, right?
Yes, but the Muslim Brotherhood is just the CIA creation, anyway, MI6 creation anyway.
Well, now we're getting into conspiracy theories. I mean, how do you prove that they're a creation of the CIA? It's like saying Castro was a creation of the CIA. Yes, Arafat was a creation of the CIA. Noriega was a creation of the CIA. I mean, I've heard these theories, but what's the point of discussing something we can't prove? It's like Area 51. I'll tell you one good thing about this discussion, Steve, is that it ended up on a rational basis, which is where really where I ever want to go on the show at this stage of my career. And I want to thank you. I mean, I'd send you my book, but you said you're a gay New Yorker. I don't even think you want it.
Yeah, Yasser Arafat actually was evacuated by the U.S.
Okay, I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back. Hey, hang on. Just before I go to a break, let me ask you this question. How much money do you need to earn each month? That's the first question my friends at IncomeAtHome.com are going to ask. Then they'll help you hit your financial goals. How? With their proven step-by-step system that for nearly 10 years has been helping people start their own cash-generating, home-based internet business. No matter your age, education, or experience, you can do this. No pressure, no selling soap, no cold calling. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table. Earn money 24/7, even while you sleep. IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work-from-home business. It is plus-rated by the Better Business Bureau for their business ethics. And Income at Home is affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company doing business in over 80 countries. If you're sick of living paycheck to paycheck, worrying about job security or retirement, if your dream is to earn a great income from home, part-time or full-time, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone just for checking them out. You hear this? Visit IncomeAtHome.com. That's IncomeAtHome.com. It's A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau for their business ethics. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, in addition to this incendiary decision by Obama to support gay marriage today, I mean, we have to talk about something else. So what other five topics do you think are being buried by this? Obviously, the economy, the deficit, relations with China, the Arab Spring has evolved into the Arab winter, the decimation of the U.S. military, the demise of NASA, the end of our space exploration projects. These are all much bigger topics. And of course, they're going to be subsumed by this other topic. I'm proud to tell you, by the way, a news story just came out that I have been joined in my ban from Britain by a very distinguished American. As you well know, I'm the only member of the American broadcasting media to not be allowed to cross the pond and enter Britain. Of course, I will go to Ireland at some point and go to the border with 10,000 of my listeners and say up the British, but I'm not ready to do that. A killer killer be killed self-defense guru Tim Larkin banned from UK. I'm not making it up. An American self-defense expert who teaches people how to deal with kill or be killed situations has been banned from entering Britain. Officials say Tim Larkin's presence was not conducive to the public good. That's what they said about me. Larkin attempted to board a flight to the UK from Las Vegas, but was given a letter from the UK Border Agency. That's the same cretin who won't let me in, saying he would not be allowed in, according to BBC News. The Home Secretary will seek to exclude an individual if she considers that his or her presence in the UK is not conducive to the public good. So let's see. They let in radical Muslims who call for the death of the Queen. They permit rabble-rousers like Al Sharpton to fly into London. They let people of the lowest order, rap stars, to come into London and make a disgrace of the human race. But they don't let him in and they don't let me in. Larkin, who runs a company called Target Focus Training, previously came to the UK in 2009 when he taught a class to teach people how to maim and kill in self-defense. But he's not allowed in now. He's spoken all over the world, But the fact of the matter is 72% of those polled by the UK Guardian newspaper said that he should be allowed into the country. The same number, by the way, that permitted, that voted for me when they banned me was almost the same 72%. Larkin had been invited to speak at the Martial Arts Show conference in Birmingham on May 12th and to hold a seminar in the Tottenham area of London. Nevertheless, the throwback leftist fascists in England have banned this self-defense guru. So I'm proud to tell you I'm in great company. And thank you. For those of you who've been supporting my legal fund all these years, you're on the right side of history, believe me. Now give me five topics more important than Obama coming out today in support of gay marriage. Greg in New York on WOR, what are they? What are the topics?
Five. Number one, tax overhaul. Number two, the establishment of term limit for Congress and senators. Number three, control of our borders. Number four, entitlement elimination. Number five, voting security. I could keep going.
Well, Greg, it sounds to me like you've read the Trickle-Down Tyranny, or is this all out of your own thinking?
No, all out of my own thinking. I quite honestly, I'm confused by this whole gay marriage issue. The homosexual community is on the wrong side of this topic. I'm not sure why a government has to recognize the coupling of any combination of people, whether it's male-female, male-male, female-female. Back in the old days when tests were administered to ensure that there was no bloodlines that were going to get commingled that shouldn't, or to
yes.
check for diseases, there was a governmental interest in issuing marriage.
Well, right. When I got married in New York, I had to take a Wasserman test to make sure neither party had syphilis. That was to make certain that syphilitics were not created in the union.
When I was married 18 years ago, it was merely an exchange of paperwork at the town clerk's office, and that was it. The benefits that married people obtain are unfair to single people when you mention taxes, tax rates as married folks, deductions that you can claim as married folks. All of this.
Well, but wait a minute. That's because society has determined that the union between a man and a woman is good for society. It encourages families. It encourages children. You don't want a society saying to people, don't have children, because there'll be no society. Right now, the birth rate replacement rate in America is not being met, nor are most nations in Western Europe going to be here as we know them within 20 to 30 years. They're going to be gone. The only demographic groups that are reproducing beyond the reproduction rate, as you well know, are those that we have talked about on the show many times.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. A couple of other things just to get them out there. A tariff implementation or enhancement. Withdrawal from foreign entanglements, specifically Afghanistan. You mentioned our restoration of space supremacy. Currency stability. I'd like to see the return of the gold standard. Food safety. Our corn supply is being contaminated by chemicals that are being introduced that are affecting the bees. There's a laundry list of other topics that...
Now, you're a highly educated caller. If you know so far as to know what bioengineered corn is doing to the bee population, then you're very deeply into the matrix of what's wrong with our current society. So, Greg, what actually do you do professionally?
Believe it or not, I'm retired as a city employee, and I know
I do believe it. No, I do believe it because I know that the average American is not so average. I know that very well. They're always underestimated by the elites who think that the average American who didn't go to Harvard is a moron. I quite understand what the average man can be. It was the average man who saved us from Hitler. It was the average man who saved us in World War II. It wasn't the boys from Princeton. I'm giving you a rough example, okay? And, Greg, I want to thank you. I'm sending you something to help you bounce your ideas off, and that's my great book, Trickle-Down Tyranny, where almost everything you just said is discussed with the exception of the corn the manipulation of crops with genetic engineering, because I'm not so certain that it's been to the benefit of the overall ecosystem, truthfully. And I don't want to even talk about food so much today as I normally do with my normal obsession. Let's go to Florida, Pensacola. Randy, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I got your book. I took it into the gym, and I dropped it on purpose just to see if somebody would pick it up, and they just looked at me like I was some kind of monster.
You took the book Trickle-Down Tyranny to your gym. You dropped it on the floor to see if someone would pick it up, and they looked at you like you were a bad person?
Yes.
What is the name of your gym? The the Joseph Goebbels Gymnasium? Which gym do you go to?
I go to the YMCA.
Well, of all places, how do you like that? The YMCA is anti-savage. That's intriguing. That's unusual. I thought you may have gone to the Mussolini Gymnasium. Well, can I send you another copy since the first one was probably soiled with all of that perspiration?
The first copy is actually on the way to Afghanistan to my husband.
Oh, you're all alone and your husband's fighting for our freedoms in Afghanistan.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's sad. A woman alone with her husband off in war and not wondering if what news the next day will bring. It's like every policeman's wife in this country. People don't even understand it. And I know that you think that I'm just pandering. You have no idea with the violent gangs running in this country, the tattooed folks with the AKs. Every time a cop goes to work, he doesn't know if he's coming home. Think about that, moron.
Savage.
All right, look, this is a huge day because Obama suddenly turned around. 2 days ago, he said he was evolving his position on gay marriage. So today, a day after North Carolina, he comes out and says he's supporting gay marriage. I personally think it's a disastrous error on his part because the community that's most interested in this topic has already, they're going to support him 100%. However, religious people who may have been flip-flopping because they are members of churches which receive federal aid, which is a good portion of the Catholic community, by the way, Catholic churches are very ambivalent on many issues because of the federal ties, they're not going to vote for him. And I believe that the working class, blue-collar voter who voted for Obama is going to turn against him on this issue. Then I asked you, give me five more important issues, far more important than gay marriage. I mean, these are important topics. Also in the Savage Nation, we're talking about a great victory for justice in San Francisco. After 5 years of trial, an illegal alien who killed a man and his two sons, shot him in cold blood, was found guilty on three first-degree murder counts. And by the way, the DA who prosecuted this, Harry Dorfman, the lead prosecutor, should be made mayor of the city. He portrayed the murderer, Ramos, as a seemingly charming but cold-blooded killer who shot the poor Bolognese in a misguided attempt to avenge a compatriot and in the MS-13 gang who had been shot and wounded earlier that day. Dorfman said, "You're looking at a murderer, a gang murderer. Hold him responsible for all the sorrow and grief he caused that day." What's more important about the story is that this human being, this subhuman being, Ramos, had been in this country illegally. He had many juvenile offenses, but the city protected him under the so-called sanctuary policies. In one of the cases, he beat up somebody on a bus as a gang initiation. 4 days after his release, he assaulted a pregnant woman and her brother and was sentenced to the city's log cabin ranch for felony attempted robbery. In 05, he was released again without city juvenile authorities reporting this gangster to federal immigration officials. So if you think all illegal aliens come here to work, you are insane. You are insane, but there's been a victory today, of course. What victory is there for Tony Bologna's widow, Danielle, who lost her husband and two sons? Now let's move on to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com, author of the great bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny, now available in bookstores everywhere. Sacramento, Terry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. I'm a conservative gay woman. We are out there. I really don't believe that Obama does anything that's not completely calculated.
Okay, so having said that, why would he make such a move today? I don't get it.
I don't understand it either. I really don't. I don't get where he comes from half the time, but I hope to God that you're right and that it backfires against him and that he loses a lot of votes and he does not get reelected. I mean,
that's very interesting, you should say. Again, without getting into the whole gay issue, because I told you I'm a sexual libertarian. I'll say it over and over again until finally it resonates. I know it was picked up by at least one talk show host who was self-identified in the same way because it makes so much sense. When I was a TV star for 3 months in San Francisco, I had several off-duty police officers as a bodyguard, one of whom was a very tall, tough lesbian woman who loved my show to death, by the way.
I love your show. In San Francisco, it's very hard to get. I have to drive where there's no overhead wires so I can get it on.
Oh, that's hilarious. Well, you know, Terry, I'm banned in London. I'm banned in the UK and banned in San Francisco. What does that tell you about San Francisco?
Well, I'll tell you what my partner did for my birthday last year. She bought me a T-shirt that said "Anybody but Obama." And
so, now this is a great question. Why would conservative lesbian women be against Obama? What don't you like about him?
Well, we're both in the medical profession. I think Obamacare is just in it. I'm not a socialist. I'm flat
all right,
out.
So, in other words, your sexual orientation is one thing, but your social policies are not tied into that, the whole left wing cabal, just because of your sexual orientation. That's very unusual, by the way, Terry. It's very unusual. And I've said this for a long time, that minority groups in general are basically hooked into the whole leftist conundrum based upon their minority orientation. That includes sexual orientation. But I don't know that they're mutually connected. Why must you be a leftist if you're, let's say, a Hispanic or black or Jewish or gay in this case? Why must you automatically pick up the whole leftist doctrine?
I don't. I mean, I really feel like, you know, I live my life. I pay my taxes. I'm a good citizen. I do good work. And my sexual orientation is very small on the scale of who I am. And once you start labeling people, and then you start judging people. So if you just leave it alone, you know, I've had this argument with people who are very big supporters of gay marriage. Now, I frankly don't care whether one way or the other, whether it passed. And I know I got lambasted for that several times. But what I've never really believed in a cause except getting Obama out of office.
But why why would Obama, who is so politically astute, and Axelrod, who is a political genius, why would they have Obama change his position from Monday to Wednesday? Why?
I don't know, and I don't know. It frightens me because there's something. He's too calculated. I'm not going to say he's smart because, of course, we've never seen his transcripts. He's too calculated and too narcissistic not to have something up his sleeve with this. And
right.
And
so my initial, when I started the show today, I said there's only two explanations in my mind. I like to break things down into two or three. The first is he did this because he knows he's going to win. It's a slam dunk. In other words, they own the voting machines, or they have some knowledge that we don't have. The fix is in. That's the first thing that came to mind. The second one is that the big bucks donors in Hollywood have said to him, you have to come out and support gay marriage, or we're not going to give you the $100 million plus.
That's a tough one. I don't know. But God, I hope he doesn't get reelected again. I pray to
God. Well, it's
God
a disaster for working people. I really don't care what your sexual orientation is. If this man is reelected, taxes are going to be raised along the lines of France. And our standing in the world will diminish even further. The world will emerge into a greater chaotic state than it is right now. I mean, it's a disaster. The man is a terrible shepherd of this nation.
He scares me single-handedly more than anybody
well,
ever
that's
has.
How many people feel, and I don't think it's limited to yourself. Well, again, I'll do my petty little joke. I'll send you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny if you promise not to rip the cover off.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? I would not.
All right. Well, thanks for an intelligent call. And this shows you, really, I have to now blow my own listeners' horns. It just shows you the diversity of my listenership and how they transcend the stereotypes that so many people portray in the media about so-called conservatives. It's not a monolithic, group. Conservatives come in all different shapes, forms, sexualities, you name it. And it's really not about sexuality. This is the problem, is that so many people think that if you're conservative, you're anti-this or you're anti-that. I would turn it around. I'd say if you're conservative, you're pro-this and you're pro-that. That's what I would like to get across as a message. So what would my message be? Borders, language, culture. I defined that in 1994 as my message. And if I were running for office, which I am not doing because I consider my radio show my office, I'm a sort of member, what do they call it in England? Without portfolio, kind of, I don't know what they say, what they call it. But I have no portfolio, but basically I am a politician. Make no mistake about it. Talk show hosts are unelected politicians. If you want to say that we're czars, you're wrong, because we're not appointed by anybody. We establish ourselves based upon our wit and our wisdom, or we don't exist. Let's be very clear about it. In other words, if talent still counts in America, then we count. The day they say the talent doesn't count, which is what they're doing on a daily basis, saying, oh, you have to have talk show hosts of a certain color, a certain race. Why? Why? Why must you? If they don't have an audience, why must you listen to them? Well, take a look at your universities today and you'll know the answer. Take a look at what's gone on because of this multicultural thinking. Take a look at what it's done. It's been decimating. It's decimated our universities. But I don't want to get too far off the topic. The fact of the matter is, borders, language, culture is my motto, if you want to put it that way. It's what I stand for. I don't see why anybody could stand against that. I have no idea why that would not resonate with any American. Is there any American who thinks we should have open borders and have more MS-13 gang members in our cities killing innocent people? Excuse me, step up to the plate and tell me about that. Okay, so you agree with me that borders is a good motto. Secure borders. Language. English only. I don't want to press one for English. I don't want to have to press anything for English. I come from immigrant parents. My father was certainly an immigrant who didn't speak English. He didn't tell me to learn my native language. I didn't go to school, to learn his native language. He didn't tell me to go to school and take a second language. English was never a second. What do you mean English is a second language? What do you think our schools are broke for? ESL? How many billions of dollars are wasted on this, on these programs? ESL? Are you crazy? English is the first language. Learn it or relegate yourself to second-class citizenship would be my description of what's going to happen to you. You're going to wind up in a secondary state in your life if you can't speak English properly. Every immigrant knows that. So borders, language, culture. What do I mean by culture? That's the one that everyone says, well, okay, now what do you really mean by culture? You can't figure out what the American culture is? Let's start with a simple statement. The U.S. Constitution and the Bill of Rights, does that bother you? No. So if you believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, English as the language of the land, the glue that holds us together, and secure borders, then you actually are a good member of the Savage Nation. Welcome to Borders, Language, and Culture. You may find out that you really are a conservative after all. You don't have to define yourself as such, because I really don't even like the word conservative, to be frank with you. It's overused. It's underunderstood. It's too didactic. It's too simplistic. In fact, I remember when Nixon ran for office, when people started to describe themselves, they came out of the closet and said, oh, I'm a conservative. I rebelled against that label. I didn't like it. I thought that the word conservative per se was too self-satisfied. You hear what I just said to you? I don't think anyone who's considered a conservative in the media has ever said that, because it's almost like you don't even understand what I'm saying. When people say, oh, I'm a conservative, it's sort of a too self-satisfied pat answer for who you are. So I've always defined myself, for 18 years in the radio at least, as an independent conservative. Now, many have followed, which is good. I'm a leader. I accept that. I'm a leader, period. Many people have followed me into battle. But the fact of the matter is, I don't like simple phrases for a human being. We're too complicated. We're too multidimensional to define ourselves with a single word. I'm a this, I'm a that. Well, I'm not a this or I'm not a that. Are you a this or an a that? You're a multifaceted individual. Now, politically in this country, unfortunately, because we live in a dumb country, there are only two parties. You know, the Europeans, to their credit, have many parties. At least you'd know Obama's a communist in Europe. He'd be running on the far left. They don't call him communist anymore. They call him a social labor, this and that, or the Socialist Party in France. Obama's clearly a socialist by every definition. How in the world anyone in the comedia, that's very funny. Nice slip of the tongue. That'll be stolen tomorrow by somebody. How can anyone in the comedia, how can they not understand that we know that Obama's a socialist? He's defined himself as a socialist in every one of his policy statements, except recently when he's trying to pretend he isn't. But it's not playing very well. His audiences are half of what they were. So the comedia may do what they want, but the people are not laughing. I'll be right back. Savage. Well, here's an interesting email. I'm not going to name the person, but a friend in the media just sent me something from Gawker website where the gay left is totally furious at Obama. They don't like his sort of flip-floppy statement on gay marriage. He says that gay couples should be able to marry, but Obama doesn't believe they have a right to do so. So therefore, they're saying it was equivocal. And they believe that Obama did this hastily in order to cover his back after Biden came out and put his foot in his mouth and his foot. Biden has foot and mouth disease, but the fact of the matter is Biden came out in favor of gay marriage, I think, yesterday. Well, because he believes in it, so he said what he believes in. So he put Obama in a very bad position because he was equivocating. It was yes, no, no, yes. So now the gay left is very angry at Obama for giving them a half measure. So it's a relentless situation here. You can't win. It's just a relentless situation for anybody in politics. You cannot win. When you have extremists on any issue, they're never going to forgive you for whatever you do unless you do it their way. It's as simple as that. And trust me, in radio, we know it. You say one word, you're going to offend some. You're going to make others happy. Others don't know, you know, what you're talking about. Albany, New York, Jim, I hope you do. You're welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Great audience, Michael. I'm so impressed with some of your callers. It just blows me away. Anyway, I just wanted to
That's interesting. Which caller did you find most interesting today?
The last woman caller. I just totally agreed with her. She just nailed it right on the head. That woman
The lesbian conservative woman?
Yes, I agree with her 100%.
Well, if you want to meet her, then you come out to San Francisco and look for a woman walking around with a copy of two women walking around with a copy of A Trickle Down Tyranny, and then you may meet her.
Problem. Thanks anyway, Mike. But anyway, I agree with you about your point. I think Obama got backed into a corner because of his really clever vice presidential comment from Joe Biden. I think he's a total phony. Obama's a total phony. He was going to do this after the election, but now he got backed into a corner, so he had to come up with a... He had to make his point across, and I think he just figures he's going to lose his left base if he doesn't act soon. So that's all it was. And I just think...
Well, you think he was just hastily pushed into this, taking this position, this equivocal position at that, by Biden's remarks in plain English?
No, and the media. The media was pressing him on it, and I think they were showing, you know, some of the media was actually saying to him, how can you, you know, not address this? And you've already said that you were against gay marriage. Now your vice president says that we're all for it.
Well, he said, I personally think same-sex couples should be able to get married. He didn't say that he's going to enact any legislation to that effect.
Exactly. I don't think true conservatives don't really care. We just don't want to redefine the term of marriage. That's the whole point. You know, you can...
No, wait, say that again. True conservatives don't care about sexual orientation. Is that what your premise is?
Exactly. We don't.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. It's exactly right. Who cares what anybody does sexually?
There's so many problems that we have between foreign policy and the Muslim extremists that want to destroy our culture. What you talk about, borders, language, and culture. Pressing one for English. We're sick of that. You know, we're sick of that.
Right.
And everywhere.
Absolutely right. There are so many issues that threaten our survival, and this is not one of them. Let me go on record. So many issues that threaten our survival as a nation and our individual freedoms. This is certainly not one of them. And I don't know why this has to come flaring up again at this time. So I'm sending you Trickle Down Tyranny to think about it. Okay. 1-800-449-8255. Great callers, really great callers on the Savage Nation. Indiana, Jason, welcome to the program. Which five topics are more important than gay marriage to you?
Well, I would start out with number one being the float is sticking your hands in what we should be doing with our children as far as, you know, telling what they should eat in schools. Next thing you know, they're going to be telling them what languages they should be speaking instead of English.
Oh, you mean the first lady's meddling in our daily lives?
Yes. Well, it's the job of the parents, not the government.
How about her extravagant Marie Antoinette-like behavior of traveling around the world on the public dime and pretending that she cares about the economy?
Out of control government spending, like the $800,000 Vegas trip with all the clowns and magicians and all that good stuff.
Well, the clowns and magicians should have stayed home and worked in the Department of Education where they belong.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to run along, but you're getting TDT. It's coming to you by mail. TDT. I got so many people emailing me saying, Michael, I'm going into the bookstores and rearranging them so that they're prominently displayed. I'm not letting them push them aside. I had a person come up to me at the in Florida at the Mar-a-Lago Club, one of my most loyal supporters. He wouldn't leave me alone. I love the guy. He said, I've gone into every store, and then they move your book the next day, and I go back, and I move it back. I love you, Michael. I'm one of your soldiers. I felt like saying, Milty, do me a favor. Buy five of them. What are you moving them around for? But I didn't say that to him because it's really not about buying them. It's about getting your ideas out, isn't it? This is the Savage Nation, where borders, language, and culture reign supreme. My website is michaelsavage.com. Every day, right here on your local affiliate. I'll be back in a moment for another big hour across America. Be here or be absolutely nowhere. Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
You got to hear some of this audio that we had on the show today, including President Obama saying that he supports same-sex marriage, kind of evolving, maybe, who knows.
But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together. When I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
You need to hear this comedian talking about his 50% tax rate.
It's like, let's all work together. I don't have a problem. He goes, if you just pay 1% more to help everybody, I'm like, fine. But don't tell me I'm not paying my fair share when between federal, state, property tax, FICA, and everything, I'm paying at least 50%. And then you have legal deductions. Not loopholes, legal deductions that the IRS allows. You think everyone's fooling the IRS?
How many of your...
It's ridiculous.
How many of your Hollywood showbiz mates agree with you? How many are disaffected with Obama, do you think?
A lot more than they're saying.
A lot more than were in favor of him before?
Yeah, and he's hypocritical when he's saying, like, he goes, you know, this 1%, they don't understand us. Obama's in the 1% now. He made $4.3 million the year he was elected. He said $300,000, that's enough money for anybody to make. Is he putting a cap on success now? He's getting paid $400,000 a year as president. Is he giving back $100,000? When he leaves office, he's going to make millions.
Finally, you must listen to VP Joe Biden saying that the U.S. was the problem and not Iran during the Bush administration. You talk about the enemy within. That's not putting your foot in your mouth, Joe. That's putting the enemy in your mouth.
When we took office, there was virtually no international pressure on Iran. We were the problem. We were diplomatically isolated in the world, in the region, in Europe. The international pressure on Iran was stuck in neutral. As a matter of fact, Iran's influence in the previous 6 years was growing in the region, not diminishing, growing in the region. The relationship with Syria was obvious. The use of a staging point for Hezbollah and Hamas was clear. The rest of the region was basically stiff-arming the United States and saying, you need to be engaged more in missile defense. You need to be engaged more in. And we are being criticized in European capitals for being unilateral. And Tehran had allies and were intimidating their neighbors. And America's leadership was in doubt. We were neither fully respected by our friends nor feared by our opponents. Today, it is starkly, starkly different.
Well, the big news today on MichaelSavage.com is that Obama suddenly backs gay marriage. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you think that the Obama machine is that smart, we've just seen that they're that stupid. Yesterday, they just lost. They just saw that North Carolina voted down gay marriage, right, Beowulf? By a 60-40 margin. We didn't say by a whisper. By a landslide, gay marriage was voted down. It's the 30-something state that said no to gay marriage. Now, why would the president choose to show the gay community that he's on their side when he has the gay community on his side? What he's done here is he's alienated the blue-collar white voter, alienated the black voter, alienated at least 20% of the Hispanic voter vote, and certainly the other ethnic groups who are all very, very traditional marriage. This is crazy. It doesn't make any sense for him to do this. I'm glad he did it. And it leads us to the question that he supports same-sex marriage all of a sudden. What questions come up? My God, what questions come up? He announced just now that he supports same-sex marriage, reversing his long-standing opposition. Okay, so he gave into his Democratic base. In an interview with ABC News, always Bolshevik crap, Obama described his thought process as an evolution that led him to this decision, based on conversations with his staff members, his own staff members, openly gay members, lesbian members, his wife and daughter's members. So this is utter nonsense for him to do this, and it's a big... Do you think it's a big mistake? It's just crazy. So what do you think motivated Obama's sudden turnaround on gay marriage? A sudden moral epiphany? A genuine desire to connect with all voters? Or a desire to appease his base, his radical base? And the second question is, do you think this will help or hurt Obama's chances for re-election? You know what I think. If you're an African-American with a religious background who voted for Obama, are you going to vote for him again? Now that you know he backs gay marriage, which goes against your church teachings. Now, if you're a working-class, blue-collar, so-called white independent who voted for Obama, how do you feel about what Obama did today? Does this change your mind? Now, here's the big one. How do you think Romney will respond? How should Romney respond? How do you fear Romney will respond? Will Romney now follow him? If he does, then he's just neutralized Obama's mistake.
Well, when these issues were raised in my state of Massachusetts, I indicated my view, which is I do not favor marriage between people of the same gender, and I don't favor civil unions if they're identical to marriage other than by name. My view is that domestic partnership benefits, hospital visitation rights, and the like are appropriate, but that the others are not.
Okay, so we have a big, 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 big decision. People are asking, is Obama pro-gay marriage or just against states' rights again? Because he's going against 31 states. Or is he just doing another head fake to take our eyes off of his scandals? I mean, this is in response to a law passed in North Carolina which rejects gay marriage. So now we're going to forget the economy and talk about this? This is amazing to me. This is amazing to me. Well, anyway, this is a big topic today. We're going to talk about this. And I think this alone is enough to sink any hope he may have had for re-election. Because he flipped and flopped and flopped and flipped, and he made the wrong decision at the wrong time. So let's see what else is on MichaelSavage.com. On the top left, of course, I implore you to go to your bookstores and buy the bestseller, Trickle Down Tyranny. Lugar Challenger credits Tea Party with victory. DOJ officials are Obama bundlers with Wall Street ties. Biden blames Bush for Iran failures.
When we took office, there was virtually no international pressure on Iran. We were the problem. We were diplomatically isolated in the world, in the region, in Europe. The international pressure on Iran was stuck in neutral. As a matter of fact, Iran's influence in the previous 6 years was growing in the region. Not diminishing, growing in the region. The relationship with Syria was obvious. The use of a staging point for Hezbollah and Hamas was clear. The rest of the region was basically stiff-arming the United States and saying, you need to be engaged more in missile defense, you need to be engaged more in. And we are being criticized in European capitals for being unilateral. And Tehran had allies and were intimidating their neighbors. and America's leadership was in doubt. We were neither fully respected by our friends nor feared by our opponents. Today, it is starkly, starkly different.
Elizabeth Warren's ancestors were not only not Native Americans, they rounded up Cherokees for the Trail of Tears. Hillary Clinton's friends in the Muslim Brotherhood vow global caliphate in Jerusalem, wake up Jews. Will rich people desert the United States if taxes are raised? This is all on MichaelSavage.com. Catholic Church says Australia's suffering a man drought. Hey, get me to Australia. You mean all those lonely swimsuit models are looking for any man? Even John Travolta? John Travolta assailed with male sex accusations, two in a row. On the bottom right, Chinese millionaires flock to Ferrari. Somehow they like Ferraris. I mean, you got to hand it to them. I guess they like the color red. It's considered good luck in the Chinese culture. Well, those are some of the stories we're going to be covering right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. Wait. Hang on. Before I go.
You know that Mrs. S is going to expect something really special this Mother's Day, right? But this year, she got something unexpected. Shari's Berries. They're chocolatey, juicy, huge, fresh, and they're delicious. Who doesn't love chocolate? Who doesn't love strawberries? Say happy Mother's Day to all the moms in your life. I have a special offer for my listeners. Giant dipped strawberries from Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. That's more than 40% savings. My radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. Get Shari's Berries starting at just $19.99. Call 866-FRUIT-02 or visit berries.com.
Savage.
How come these degenerate things happen under Democrats? Why is that? Is it a laxness, a disrespect for propriety, a disrespect for family? Why is it that the Secret Service agents feel free to use hookers in Colombia and think they wouldn't get and cheap? They're cheap on top of it all. It's bad enough that they went to a house of ill repute, which is legal, by the way, in Colombia. We'll forget that side of it. But one of the cheap bums wouldn't even pay the girl $46, according to the report. You hear? Reminds me of certain individuals from waiters I hear all the time who don't tip. They have a sense of entitlement, but that's neither here nor there. What do you think should be done to the Secret Service? How secret could the service be if the hookers know who they are? How secret could the service be under Obama if hookers even know their names? Let's put it to you that way. Do you have any idea what a breach of security this is? A guy has to take his gun out, right, in order to be with a prostitute. Let's be clear. He has to take his wallet out to be with a hooker. He has to get naked, doesn't he? Unless there's some special secret that I don't know about that Obama's Secret Service agents use where they can remain clothed with their gun and wallet in their pocket while enjoying the services of a hooker in Colombia. But let's assume they're like an ordinary man. They have to get undressed. They have to take out their gun, take out their wallet. What was that click? You're telling me there's no opportunity for someone to sneak in and get their ID, blackmail them by threatening their families, get the serial numbers off their guns? Well, what's the difference? Boys will be boys, right? What should happen is the question. You don't care. It's not a big topic. Thank you for helping make trickle-down tyranny number 3 and number 2 on all of the lists. It can't be number 1 because that's reserved for let us say one of them. The slot number 1 is always reserved for them, the other side, since they control the list. But you drove it to number 3 and number 2, Trickle-Down Tyranny by Michael Savage, HarperCollins Publishers, which is an amazing thing considering I'm banned in the UK and on Fox News. Really. Pentagon embarrassed by prostitution scandal. Them too? They're also embarrassed. Everyone's embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. It won't happen again. Let's do an investigation. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again. Vincent Sacramento, you should go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, how are you, sir?
Terrible. How about you?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Listen, I went into Barnes & Noble. Well, I should say I called Barnes & Noble
They said they would get back to me when they located it. 2 days later, I got a call from them that they located it. I said, sorry, I already went to Costco and got it. It's right up front in Costco.
I don't understand. So, Barnes & Noble didn't have trickle-down tyranny in Sacramento? Well, where in Sacramento?
You know what? Off the top of my head now, I can't even recall because I was so ticked off with the woman. I went, I Googled.
Well, she was busy. She was busy probably looking for Obama's book or something.
He had to be 22 years old. I says, there is hope. There is hope, Dr. Savage. And when I left, you know, you got to.
Yeah, there is hope. There's hope, but it's very slim pickings. Vince, I'm sending you a free copy anyway. Save it for Christmas. The book will still be good. Yeah, it's not. You know, I have a sequel coming out. I'm doing so many books, you know me. You got the Tyranny book, that's out. So I'm finishing up Train Tracks for December. You know, my nostalgia tour. But I've also almost finished up novel number two of Abuse of Power. And the next one, the villains are the mainland, the communist Chinese, who come here to do a terrible thing to America. That should also go over very well with the American media. Anyway, one of the main scenes in the book occurs in the Farallon Islands off the coast of San Francisco, which is a very rough, rugged area. Very few people have ever been there. Here's another headline out of the Bay Area. Man kills wife outside lawyer's office. Petaluma man shot a strange spouse who was seeing divorce attorney before turning the gun on himself. Oh, God. Shakespeare, where are you now that we don't need you? What else is in the news? What else do you want to talk about? I think the Secret Service story is a big deal, but you don't want to talk about it. What can I do? You can talk about other topics. In a minute, I'm going to talk about a mental hospital. Because you remember I wrote a book years ago called Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. And unless we clean up the mental hospitals, we're going to need a lot more of them in the next few years as more and more liberals check themselves in. There's a heck of a story in the LA Times, 5 pages long, about what liberals have done to mental health in the state of California in the name of do-goodering. They're do-gooders, right? And they said, well, we can't have heavy drugging of mentally ill people. We can't have restraints on the mentally ill because it's against their civil rights. Now, as you well know, Jerry Brown's father is a man who institutionalized the law giving the state the right to disperse, really, the patients from the state mental hospitals. It was Reagan who enacted the law passed by Jerry Brown's father, Pat Brown, and the rest is history. The vermin are in the gutters. They're called homeless. If they're not in the gutters, they're in Sacramento or in Washington pretending to be politicians. And so now you've got people trickling back into mental hospitals, and the psychotic liberals have said, well, you can't drug them. You can't restrain them. And so you don't have to give them more freedom. So in 2006, the federal government, Department of Justice, sued the state, saying it was violating patients' rights by heavily drugging and improperly restraining them, and it didn't give them the right treatment, right?
Savage.
Vice President Joe Biden said when talking to Obama supporters about Iran that before President Obama took office, the U.S. was the problem, not Iran. Now, that's putting the enemy in your mouth, not your foot in your mouth, Joe. Joining us right now in the Savage Nation to discuss this and much more is terrorism and national security analyst for CBN News, Eric Stackelbeck. Eric, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Obviously, Biden has it wrong. But what do you think about a vice president saying that we were the problem in regards to the terrorist state of Iran? I wrote about this in Trickle Down Tyranny, as you know.
Biden's comments, Michael, seem to sum up the Obama administration's view on foreign policy and the world in general. America is the problem. It was our fault that negotiations, that the drive against Iran's nuclear weapons program went nowhere. Look, a few things here. Number one, the Bush administration policy on Iran's nuclear weapons program was really not effective. They really didn't have much of a strategy, especially after 2007, when that notorious national intelligence estimate, Michael, if you remember, was released saying basically that Iran had given up its nuclear weapons program. This was December 2007. All of our intelligence agencies got together, issued this report saying, hey, nothing to worry about. Iran has given up its nuclear weapons program. Well, after that report was released in 07, Bush's hands were pretty much tied. If he wanted to pursue military action against Iran's nuclear facilities at that point, it was tough because, look, all of our intelligence agencies had just released a report saying, hey, Iran doesn't have nukes. They're not working towards nukes. So Bush had to battle against that. He also had to battle against, obviously, the Iraq syndrome. And would people trust him if he said that Iran had nukes and we needed to take action against Iran? Would the American people trust him there? So there's a lot of things going on. Even the Bush administration, though, towards the tail end of his administration, Michael, made some diplomatic overtures to Iranian officials. So Bush administration strategy on Iran, overall, not effective and pretty weak. That said, the Obama administration, for Joe Biden to come out and to trumpet his supposed the supposed successes of the Obama administration with Iran is insane. Iran has been emboldened and empowered by this administration's weakness at every turn. Sanctions have not worked, and they will not work. Yes, sanctions have hurt Iran. Without a doubt, they have hurt the Iranian economy. That's without question. And yes, the Obama administration does have a closer relationship with Europe in terms of enforcing these sanctions. But two things here. Number one, although the sanctions have hurt, and by the way, President Obama has been dragged at times kicking and screaming by Congress into enforcing tougher sanctions against Iran. Although the sanctions have hurt Iran, the bottom line, Michael, is that Iran will not give up its nuclear weapons program. Yeah, they've hurt Iran, but the bottom line is it hasn't stopped Iran, and it won't stop Iran. Iran's leaders are saying, they say, sanctions will not stop us. And that's the bottom line. So for the Obama administration to say that they're having any success with Iran is insane, because at the end of the day, Iran is even closer to a nuclear weapon than they were under the Bush administration. Reality check here. And Iran is just as tight with Syria, with Hezbollah. So look, Iran is an even greater threat than they were 4 years ago. That's without question.
Does the recent stopping of the terror plot have anything to do with Obama administration policies?
Hey, look, it's great that we broke up this terror plot in Yemen. Absolutely. I'd say that our intelligence work has been excellent. Not only the Obama administration, look, under the Obama administration, we've had great law enforcement intelligence work, just as we've had under the Bush administration. I don't know how much of that credit is due to President Obama, because some of his counterterrorism policies, quite frankly, have, if he had his way, we wouldn't be having a lot of these successes. We probably wouldn't have been able to target Osama bin Laden. But he has learned in his time in office that, hey, some of these Bush administration policies actually worked, and he's kept some of them. So we've had great intel work. So this plot in Yemen being foiled is a victory, absolutely. But the main thing here is that it goes completely against the Obama administration narrative, Michael, that the war on terror is over. Al-Qaeda is nearly defeated. We can pack up our bags and go home. Well, first of all, it's not a war on terror. Terrorism is only a tactic. It is Islamic jihadist war against us. That's number one. That's what we're in right now. Second of all, to say it's over, you wouldn't be having plots like this, what we saw coming out of Yemen, and you wouldn't have Al-Qaeda covering more geographic area than they did on 9/11. Think about that. Yes, their hierarchy in Pakistan has been hurt, without a doubt. But if you look at the map, Al-Qaeda is now not only in Pakistan's tribal regions, but in Yemen, North Africa, Somalia, Sinai, Europe. They're even reconstituting in Iraq. So they're actually covering more geographical area than they did on 9/11, Michael. And look, that's not even mentioning the whole new wave of homegrown self-starters who might not have any direct links to Al-Qaeda, but are inspired by Al-Qaeda, getting radicalized on the web, etc. This is the new face. This is the new generation. And while I'm not necessarily looking at another 9/11, although they're working diligently to accomplish that, I'm looking for the next Fort Hood, the next Times Square bomber, the next underwear bomber, the next Mumbai. That is the new blueprint, at least in the short term.
Okay, so what do you think are the chances of another terrorist attack in this nation?
I think we've been very fortunate since 9/11 to only see a handful of terror attacks and attempted terror attacks on U.S. soil. Fort Hood, obviously, the biggest terror attack on U.S. soil since 9/11, although the Pentagon has referred to it as workplace violence. True story there. But we have been fortunate. Hey, there's always a little bit of luck involved, but also we've had great intel and law enforcement work. We really have. The unsung heroes that have protected the American people over the last 11 years, that's a big thing. But I really think that the new blueprint, and in my book, The Terrorist Next Door, Michael, I talk about this. I call it the chip away strategy, and you and I have talked about it. Al-Qaeda's new blueprint is the smaller scale, low tech, self starter type attacks like a Fort Hood, like an underwear bomber, like a Times Square bomber. Guys who might not have any direct link to Al-Qaeda, but are inspired by them. And I call it a chip away attack because if you had a bunch of these attacks, 50 Fort Hoods, you know, someone walks into a shopping mall, yells Allahu Akbar, and opens fire during the Christmas shopping season, that could chip away at the country's economy, at our psyche. I don't know that we're ready for that, Michael. I don't know that we are ready right now for the Israeli model where buses, schools, trains, shopping malls are constantly a target. I don't know that we're ready for that right now, and I really think that it would cause economic and psychological damage and some chaos here if that kind of onslaught began on American soil before we eventually recovered.
How has Al-Qaeda evolved since 9/11?
Well, I think the biggest thing with Al-Qaeda, number one, is they're covering more geographical space. Look, they've branched out from Pakistan's tribal regions. As I said, Yemen, North Africa, Somalia, Sinai, Iraq, Europe. So they're all over the place now. So they have a larger presence globally, number one. Number two, a lot of their leadership, a lot of their decision makers have been killed, captured. So those 9/11 style massive attacks, which they want to do, they set the bar so high that day, they changed history. It's tough to top that. They still want to do it, but in the meantime, they're saying, look, we need to remain relevant. In the meantime, we need to do something to stay in the headlines. So as I said, Michael, they've shifted to these smaller scale attacks. That's a big change as well, economic chaos. But another crucial point here is that when the Obama administration says, hey, Al-Qaeda is nearly defeated, the war on terror is over. Crucial point here, Al-Qaeda is just one cog in a multifaceted global jihadist enemy. Al-Qaeda is just one cog. You have Iran, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood. All of these, Michael, I would argue, are greater threats than Al-Qaeda, not only in the long term, but arguably in the short term. Look, Iran's close to acquiring a nuclear weapon, closer than ever under Obama's watch. Hezbollah has some 50,000 rockets and missiles aimed at the United States right now. Hezbollah, I've had members of Congress tell me they fear that Hezbollah is working with Mexican drug cartels to cross the Mexican border. We had a hearing on Capitol Hill a few weeks ago. Congressman Peter King testified that Hezbollah is here in America, and a lot of people think Hezbollah is even more dangerous as a paramilitary force than Al-Qaeda. And of course, we have the Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood taking charge throughout the Middle East and North Africa as a result of this so-called Arab Spring, and fully embraced, by the way, by the Obama administration. We had a Muslim Brotherhood delegation from Egypt in the White House just a few weeks ago. But don't worry, the war on terror is over. So misleading. It willfully misleads the American people. Yes, Al-Qaeda has been weakened their hierarchy to a degree. But look, Iran, Hezbollah, Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda across a broader geographical area, and also these self-starters we've discussed. I'd argue this is only just beginning.
Is there anything we can do to prevent these attacks from happening?
First of all, we can do what we've been doing, great law enforcement, great intel work, but it's extremely tough to prevent these kind of self-starter, lone wolf kind of attacks. What you can do, and you, look, there's privacy issues, obviously. What you can do, look, is monitor online chat rooms, monitor social networking sites. That's been going on big time, Michael, because a lot of the radicalization here in the West, English language, has to do with these chat rooms. It has to do with social networking, YouTube, and they're communicating via the web. So monitor those kinds of venues, you know, on the web, the chat rooms, etc. You got to look at mosques. I mean, look, there's a nasty track record in the West of plotting being done in the West. I get into it in detail in my book, The Terrorist Next Door. I talk about many plots that have been hatched at Western mosques. It's a sad fact. Sorry. So that's another thing. And the main thing, know your enemy. Understand the ideology. Our government doesn't at all. Our elites in the media, the government, academia, they don't get it. Know your enemy. First rule of war. Understand Islamist ideology, jihad, holy war, Sharia. This is what drives our enemy. I've interviewed Islamists face-to-face who've told me, yes, the ideology is what drives us. Know your enemy. That's probably the main thing.
Eric Stackelback, thanks again for joining us today on the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks again for having me, and be sure to check out my book, The Terrorist Next Door, How the Government is Deceiving You About the Islamist Threat, and my show, Stackelback on Terror, at cbnnews.com. Thanks again.
I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Prostrate, often confused with prostrate. Illiterates usually write the word prostrate when they mean prostate, and vice versa. There's certain words that are a giveaway of uneducated morons. They use the word prostrate when they mean prostate, or they say prostrate when they mean prostate, or, you know, or prostitute, prostate, prostrate, coming from the Latin root prost. If you look it up, as I do often when I have nothing to do, my concise etymological dictionary of the English language by Skeet, one of my favorite possessions, $26.50, purchased by me back in the 1970s. It's like brand new. It'll be in my archives, the Savage Dictionary of, the origin of words with a little. So some of the words that I've put a little post-it in, God bless post-its. That guy should get like a Nobel Prize. One of the words is sedition. Where did it come from? Tyranny, where did it come from? But now we have a new set of root words. Prostitute, prostrate, protean, protect, protest, prothalamium, protocol, prototype, protract, protrude, protuberant, to bulge out. See, but that's the end of the pro stuff, the prot. But the Latin root of prostitute is interesting. Prostituta. To expose openly, prostitute. To place, casual of, stare, to stand nakedly, in other words, exposed. So you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? You're just trying to, use dirty words. No, I'm not using dirty words. In other words, there's an actual act involved with the Secret Service agents and their alleged cavorting with prostitutes in Colombia. And that is they have to be exposed, naked, exposed. Gun out on table, wallet out on table, while they're doing their thing, whatever that might be. You're telling me that in Colombia no one could look in their wallet and see their identity, their wife's address. They can't look at the gun and get a quick scan of the serial number on their pistol, their Glock, or whatever they're carrying. Oh, nothing to you because you'll take a fifth tonight. Nothing to you, nothing to me, nothing to you, nothing to me. There are consequences to a lax administration and the behavior thereof. It's unbelievable how this goes on. So, whatever. Okay, you get the picture? Let's go to the callers on the prostitute Secret Service scandal. New York, Ralph, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Let me mention something, Michael, about the not-so-Secret Service. Obama can be blamed for many things, Michael, but this has nothing to do with him. I mean, the sexual urge is so powerful that these guys, it's been happening since time immemorial, Michael.
Hold on now. What's been happening? Secret Service agents using hookers?
We just haven't heard it. Had it not been for this guy failing to pay $46, how ridiculous is that?
I don't know that it's happened under every president that the advance teams use hookers. I mean, that's quite an assumption. I'm not saying it's the greatest crime on earth, but for a Secret Service agent, I believe it's a dismissible offense.
Well, you may call these guys loose cannons. You know, they've gone off the deep end, maybe, and maybe they've left their wallet right on the night table there for the hooker to have full view. Who the heck knows? But I really failed to believe.
Look, I'm not here to argue with you over whether or not this occurred before, because we don't know. We're just assuming that it occurred before. I wouldn't assume that it occurred before. I know it happened now because every news print outlet in the country, in the world, is covering it. It's one of the biggest scandals of Obama's administration. But once again, the mainstream press is not really laying the blame at his doorstep. I would say there is a connection to Obama's administration because the laxness thereof reflects upon the Secret Service agents. I don't know how you could say it has nothing to do with him.
Well, I respect that, but Michael, let's prepare for four more years of the same, unfortunately, because they say that Romney has made strides. I don't believe it. I mean, I think right now to oust the incumbent would be extremely difficult. I don't look forward to four more years. I read your stuff all the time. I'm in your camp. But unfortunately,
I don't really know what's going to happen. I know Romney is a very tepid candidate. He needs to get much tougher and much more visceral in order to connect with the voter to have him come out. And we have a Faustian bargain with Romney. I agree with that as well. And that means that we know we're only going to get a certain amount of conservative values from him. But it's better than what we're getting from the Marxist in chief, isn't it?
No doubt about it, but never underestimate the public stupidity.
Oh, well, that I know. But let me ask you this. Do you think a Romney Secret Service would use hookers in Colombia?
Yeah, I think it wouldn't make a difference, to be honest. I'm trying to be truthful with you. I don't think it would make a difference.
Romney is a straight-up Mormon, a devout family man, no scandals in his background. How in the world could you not think he would not vet Secret Service agents better than Obama did?
There's no direct connection. These guys are on their own. When they're so far away from home, they can do anything and everything. I don't see them.
Well, but, you know, it's like saying there's a lot of buffers between Valachi, between the Godfather and the guy, the button man in the street. But there's a certain emotional set, if you want to use that phrase, that translates from the top down. I mean, when you see Hillary Clinton swilling beer with lady friends in a nightclub at 2 in the morning, is that something you'd expect from a Secretary of State? You're going to tell me they all did it?
No, I won't. But
let's go to that one. Now, why is she seen in a nightclub with lady friends, downing a bottle of beer, dancing the night away? There's no crime in that. But is that dignified? Is that something you'd expect from a Secretary of State?
You know why she can do it? Because she's who she is. In fact, Michael, she can do no wrong. She can do whatever the heck she wants to do because the mainstream media allows her to do so. Don't you see she has free rein, Michael? You know it and I know it.
Well, amongst the degenerate crowd, yes. And amongst people without brains, yes. Amongst people without any sense of decency or morality, of course she has free rein. But amongst the rest of America, I think this is another PR disaster for this administration. Savage.